I started yesterday before service. I know they put it on MixLR, but probably we're not there. I just realized there's a need to also teach on fasting so that the exercise will not be wasted. And yesterday I started with what is fast. I'm just recapping now before I continue. I'm just recapping now. People have said fasting is I fast football, I fast social media and all that. That is not scriptural. As Christians, we must always do things according to the Bible so that we can get the promise that God has promised us. I believe there will be always be a revelational interpretation, but no scripture is subject to private interpretation. So if God is not calling it that, we can't call it that. At most, all these other things are distractions that the Bible has encouraged us that all of us need put aside. So, fasting is abstinence from solid food. Simple as ABC. Not fluids, because your body needs fluid. Of course, when we now say not fluids, doesn't mean you go and drink everything available in the name of it is not fluids. Because if you see in the Bible as we continue, different ramifications to fasting, but it's basically abstinence from solid food as understood from scriptures. And I told us yesterday, Jesus paralleled prayers with fasting. So you have general prayers, you have personal prayers, you have general fasting, you have personal fasting. Now, who can fast? All believers are expected to fast. I know someone that says he doesn't have the gift of fasting. Fasting is not a gift, it's a discipline. And this person that I am saying is not a church member. He spends a lot of time in the gym and all that. And I tell him, if you can put the discipline of physical exercise, why can't you put the physical, the discipline of fasting food? Because you see, if you have problem with food, you have problem with women, you have problem ultimately with money, because they are all appetites. That is why fasting is one thing that God emphasizes. You look at the occultic world. The first thing for power, first thing to enter the realms they want you to enter, is that you must have abstinence, not just from sex and all the other conditions, some of them from food for days. There are monks that go days, 40 days, 100 days without food just to attain astral or whatever they call that level. So all believers are expected to fast, except you have a debilitating health condition, in which case you trust God to heal you as you do what your energy can do. That is what I personally recommend. But Bible recommendation, where you have like tuberculosis, you are on medication, you are on the sick bed, you have diabetes and ulcer, all these gastrointestinal illness, it is expected that you stay away from fasting, because ultimately fasting positions you. It doesn't change God. Everything God wants to do is already done in His presence. Your blessing, your car, your house, your children, your money, everything about you before you were born, God already put them in place. So it is us that we are positioning ourselves for us to receive accurately. The prayer is not creating the solution. The fasting is not creating the blessing. The fasting is not creating the money. It's not creating the cars. You have been blessed already. Everything you need, God has already given you. But without you fasting, you may not be accurately positioned. And this is where I think faith movement muddled up everything, in the sense that they emphasized one at the detriment of another. Because you see, even Jesus said there are some faith you can't develop except by fasting and praying. You go through the Old Testament, the old children of Israel, they fasted, especially on Day of Atonement and some other special celebrations. They fast once a year on the Day of Atonement, as it were. The disciples of John, they continued that tradition. The Bible told us they were fasting. And Jesus' disciples, the people were just, they were upset that Jesus' people, they were eating. And Jesus did not exonerate them. He said, they can't fast now because there's probably no need for it. I am the positioning they need. I am with them. But when I am taken, they will need to realign. And then it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because they will fast. Jesus said his disciples will fast. You look through the Old Testament, Moses fasted, David fasted, Elijah fasted. A lot of kings, they declare fasting just to accurately align with the will of God. In Acts chapter 13, from verse 1, the Bible says there were certain prophets and teachers in Antioch, and as they ministered and fasted to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas." I hope you are still online, because you need this as much as you need the prayer. So you see there, they fasted. They were ministering to the Lord. When we say you are ministering to the Lord, is in fasting, praying, worship, studying the word of God. That is you ministering to the Lord. God ministers to us as well. But you can see there, we also minister to the Lord in fasting and in praying. So fasting as a discipline will change a lot of lives. I told us about the Methodist Church, Anglican, Baptist, but I'm sure Methodist fast every Wednesday and Friday. You can't even be their pastor without being a priest there, without a disciplined life of fasting. Now, the New Testament church, the modern church, has turned it to just what you do to get things from God. So people think when I'm praying and fasting, it's creating the house that I need, and you know, all those things are already there. Fasting just aligns you for it. Now, I haven't said that on who can fast. I've looked at what is fast. I've looked at who can fast. Now, how do you prepare for a fast? That is where I stopped yesterday. And I said you must have the right mental attitude towards fasting. That's what Matthew chapter 6, 17 to 18 teaches us, that when you are fasting, dust yourself, take your bath, clean yourself up, and make yourself presentable. Physical disposition, but telling you, you need the right mental attitude. Another way to prepare for fast is that you must know that it is God's will for you and I to fast. If you don't know that, it will mess up everything you are doing. It is God's will for you and I to fast. It is the will of God. And when you know that, it won't be like you are being forced. It won't be like pastor is trying to force you to fast. I only try to enforce the discipline. I'm not forcing you. There's a difference. The school makes a law. Come to class by 8. Now, when you break it, they punish you. But enforcing it means that they will not say because of you, they will change the time. 8 is 8. That is different between when you are. But you now as a student, you have to now brace up to make sure that you obey that law. So it is the will of God, and it must be done with the right motives. Your motives must be right. Fasting does not change God. That is a wrong motive. Fasting does not create miracles. That is a wrong motive. Fasting positions us because everything we need has been created. And I'm repeating that over and over and over, so that as we wait on God, as we fast and pray, we understand that what we are doing is that we are only trying to shift course. We are trying to shift direction. We are trying to shift things about ourselves so that we can be in the right place where God wants us to be. The right mental attitude. I'm still talking about preparing for a fast. Another thing is it must be done in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. He that comes to God, it says, without faith, it is impossible. Not that you cannot, it is impossible. It's not on the menu of pleasing God. God is looking at your life. The first thing he's looking at is faith. So if you have been saved by grace through that faith, when you come to him, it must be that faith that will be what God will see. And you want your fasting to be acceptable. Do it in faith. Have faith. Let faith be your motive. And Hebrews 11, 6, like I said, I'm quoting it. It tells us that when you come to God, you must believe that he is. Is God real to you? That is how faith becomes real. You must believe that he is and is a rewarder. You must believe that he is helping you. You must believe that God is there to position you. You must believe that God is there to change things for you. You must believe that God is there to bring you into his will and counsel. You must believe. You can't just pray into the air. You can't just fast for the sake of fasting. There must be an assurance. There must be a bottom line settlement in your heart that God is there and is listening to me. He is there. He says that he is, and that he is a rewarder. In other words, there is a reward when you do things in faith in God. So there's a reward for fasting. There are rewards for fasting. Many promises that are attached to fasting. And I will quickly do that before I continue tomorrow evening, as it were. Benefits of fasting. One key scripture to fasting is Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. It's one scripture that, all right, let me look for non-King James now to quickly drive home my point. If we were in church, I would say, hallelujah, somebody, or amen, are you listening to me? So, well, you know, I preach on radio, so I'm used to preaching with my audience invisible, as it were. So, Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58, the benefit of fasting according to the will of God. It says, cry aloud, spare not, lift your voice like a prophet, show these people their transgression and the house of, let me look for NIV. It says, shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, the descendants of Jacob, their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right. So they are pretending before God. They are trying to show God, as it were, like he doesn't see what they are doing. It says, as if they are a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of his God. Listen carefully. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for good to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say. Now, they started questioning things, and you have not seen it. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? When we continue, you see David also said, I think in Psalm 34 or so, that though these people, they run after me, says, but I humble my soul with fasting. Everywhere you see fasting, you will see humility coming after. So fasting is actually a sign of humility, a way to help us to humble ourselves. You hear preachers say, if you don't humble yourself, God humiliates you. That is not scriptural. God gains nothing in humiliating people. But he has said that if you don't humble yourself, you are going to fall. So when people fall, they say it's God. No. God will never humble you. He can't help you. You have to humble yourself. Humility is a disposition God has given to man to manage. So if you are proud, it is in you. It is your fault. It has little to do with spirit influence, as it were. It says, why have we fasted? Verse 3, and you have not seen it. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? So you see now, he's saying here, because you see people have used this to say, you can fast this, fast that. But he was telling them why their fasting is not acceptable. Why they are not getting the benefit of fasting. He says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Number one, you can't be fasting. You know, I've been talking about how to have the right attitude towards fasting. And it led me to the benefit of fasting. You can't be fasting and be wicked. You can't be fasting on the fasting day, because once I round up now, we are going to pray a prayer of commitment and consecration. You can't be fasting and be sinning at the same time. And for them, it was not physical sin, because they say, we didn't fornicate, we didn't lie, we didn't do anything. But he's saying here, you are treating people wrongly. So your fasting is nonsense, as far as God is concerned. Your early morning prayer, late evening prayer, like we are doing like this, with bouts of wickedness, is nonsense. You are a worker. You don't do well at your place of work. Your fasting is cancelled. You are a tailor. You collect cloth from people. You don't show it. Your fasting is useless. You are owing your workers. The money is there. You fix it in the bank for 6 months and you refuse to pay them because of interest. You are just wasting your time. That profit will be spent on sickness. These are not causes. When we speak like this, people get agitated. These are not causes. These are direct scriptures. He says, your fasting ends in quarrel and strife. Husband and wife, doing fasting, you are fighting. He says, and in striking with each other with wicked fists. Some even get physical. He says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Now, he has told them their attitude in fasting. He says, this is the kind of fast I have chosen. Only a day for people to humble themselves. Is it only for bowing your head like a reed, or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is it what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? So the physical pretense does not mean anything if your heart is not right. Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen. to loose the chains of injustice. He says, as you are fasting, add this to it. Be good to people. Untie the cords of yoke. Help people. Set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Pay salaries when you need to pay salaries. Treat people well. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? You are fasting. Your brother doesn't have what to use to break fast. This is what you do. That's why for us, for instance, my family, you don't come and there is food and you don't eat. These are my guiding principles, because there is no point deceiving yourself. And that is why a lot of Christians, with their spirituality, faith, speaking in tongues, they are poor, because they don't obey scriptures. Are you with me? Because I can see the number of listeners is going down, but no problem. It says, it is not to share your food with the hungry. Provide for the poor, the wanderer, with shelter. Since when you see the naked, you clothe them. Don't turn away from your own flesh and blood. I will stop there for today. I will continue from verse 8 tomorrow, which begins to highlight the benefits of fasting, as it were, because it's the first day. I want to free you on time. So he said there, you can see that the attitude is very important in fasting. Your attitude is very key in fasting. He said there, when you see the naked, do you clothe them? And in verse 8, it says, when you do this, your light will break forth like a dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You will call. I'm reading NIV. You will call. The Lord will answer. You will cry for help. He will say, I am here. That is up to verse 9. If you go to verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. That is where things are hard. The Lord will satisfy your need. He will strengthen your frame physically. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ruins, raise up the old foundations, repairer of bridges, restorer of paths. So you will see about 10 benefits to fasting there. And I don't want to rush this. I'm just introducing that part to you. I will start from there tomorrow, but one of the right mental, one of the right attitude to fasting that I want to mention is that you must have the right attitude to your physical body as you fast. A lot of people don't treat their body well. A lot of people, they don't eat well before fasting. So when you are fasting, it becomes difficult. You have headache, you have weakness, you are not strong, because before that time, you are not treating your body. Remember, Corinthians tells us that our body is the temple of the living God, and that you must glorify God in your body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 19. It says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which we have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So when God saved you, he also bought your body over. So you have to treat your body very well if you are going to enjoy your fasting. Treat your body well in dieting. Eat properly before and after fasting. That is, always eat healthy, so that when you are not, when you start fasting, it won't be a serious issue. That's one of the reasons why we started with you breaking at 1 o'clock, to ease you in, because I'll still get to when and what time to fast as we continue these short exhortations on fasting. But diet well, exercise, don't eat too much, even when there is no fasting, so that when fasting comes, it doesn't become difficult. You people, in general, we are expected to take care of our body. Let me summarize it this way. Men, take care of your body like you take care of your car. Women, take care of your body like you take care of your face. Don't have a lifestyle that is not disciplined when it comes to fasting. I will continue from here tomorrow, God helping us, tomorrow evening, as it were, from the benefits of fasting.